Welcome to the Table Podcast, where we discuss issues of God and culture. Brought to you by Dallas Theological Seminary.
Welcome to the Table Podcast, where we discuss issues of God and culture to demonstrate the relevance of theology in everyday life. My name is Josh Nguyen. I'm the Vice President for Communications and Community here at Dallas Theological Seminary, and I'm your guest host for this episode of The Table, and I'm here with the other hosts of The Table, the many hosts of The Table, and we're going to get to that here in a minute because this is a unique aspect to The Table in that we have different hosts for different episodes. But I want to welcome each one of you, and just to orient our audience to who you are, would you introduce yourselves, what you do for The Table and the Hendricks Center, and then how long you've been involved in this particular podcast? One of the reasons why we are celebrating The Table with this special episode is that we're reflecting on our 600th episode, and it's so exciting to think about all the ways that you have led conversations that are impacting people in everyday lives. So, Bill, let's start with you. We'll work our way around the table, and then we'll get started in just having a conversation.
Thanks, Josh, and good to have you with us today. I'm Bill Hendricks. I'm the Executive Director for Christian Leadership at the Hendricks Center, and I've been involved with the Table Podcast, about 7 years, 8 years. I think I started a couple years after I came into this role.
I'm Casey Olander. I'm the web content specialist at the Hendricks Center, and I got involved with the podcast when I first started at the Hendricks Center, probably 3 or 4 years ago, but then didn't get started hosting until just 1 or 2 years ago. So it's been an honor.
I'm Kimberly Cook. I am the assistant director at the Hendricks Center, and I got sweaty palms when you asked how long I've been associated with the podcast because I don't remember. I think it's 4 years, something like that. Sorry.
It feels much longer than that.
Maybe
in a good way. In a good way.
Thanks, Josh. It's gone on forever.
And I'm Millicy Pipkin. I have been affiliated with the podcast starting out as an intern with the Hendricks Center and have been actually co-hosting along with these fine folks for about a year now. And so I'm just learning a lot from them and just enjoying the journey. I'm a fellow at the Hendricks Center, which is kind of unique to the rest of them because they're actually staff, and I'm kind of like just a very blessed person to be out here and being able to utilize my talents and gifting in Christ.
And I'm Daryl Bach, Executive Director for Cultural Engagement at the Hendricks Center. I'm also Senior Research Professor for New Testament at the seminary. And we've been doing the table now for, it was a year in planning, so 13 years total, 12 years in execution, and we have done 377 hours of material, which I told Casey earlier
Incredible.
Today is 3 seminary degrees.
Okay, so one of our goals during our time is to orient maybe new listeners to the table, and I actually wanted to start with the name of the podcast, The Table. Daryl, I'm pitching this one to you because you go all the way back to the beginning of the Table Podcast, and there's a philosophy that it seems to be represented by the name of the table and what you're trying to accomplish here. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
It took Mark Bailey and I almost a year.
And who's Mark Bailey?
Mark Bailey, former president, now chancellor at Dallas Theological Seminary. It took us almost a year to determine the name of what we were going to call the podcast. We had been doing podcasts randomly ever since the iPod came out, and this was a decision to make it more systematic and to have a plan and a purpose to what we were doing on a regular basis. And we spent a long time on the name because we wanted to give a certain feel to what it was that we were doing. We wanted people to feel like they were walking into a conversation at the table, at the family table, or among friends that was worth overhearing. And so that's actually what generated the name, was to create that sense and ethos about what it was that we were doing. Even though we were talking about controversial in some cases and a wide variety of things to have it be worth listening to.
So I want to ask, because each of you have obviously you're hosts of the table, what are some of the challenges you've faced, even as you've hosted, in light of the vision that Daryl was just talking about, this idea of bringing people around a table to discuss topics that are, they're not just relevant, but sometimes they're difficult. Mm-hmm. And boy, talk about a real challenge in today's age. How do you discuss and talk about things that are difficult, but in a way that's constructive and edifying? Is there a particular episode or topic where you said, man, this really was apparent to me of the challenge, but it worked out quite well?
Well, there's any number of themes you could pick, Josh. I mean, we've done, how many podcasts did we say that we've done on the homosexuality?
32.
And then the whole race and racial reconciliation conversations, we've talked about that. But the way we do the table, we want to model what it looks like to have difficult conversations, which means you put issues out on the table with real honesty, and of course you bring truth and research to back up what you say. But oftentimes we may disagree with the guests, or the guests may disagree with us, or sometimes we have more than one guest and they disagree with each other. That's fine. What we want to demonstrate and show so that people hear this is the tone with which Christians ought to be having those kinds of conversations. That's, again, links back to the table, that you come to a table often to eat, which itself is kind of a unifying thing, but also you come to the table to talk, not shout, not dominate, not power up, but to listen.
And Bill, I'm just going to say just right quick, you know, our theme for Dallas Theological Seminary, of course, this year, we're celebrating a century of teaching truth and loving well. And I think what happens here at the table whenever we're having discussions with our guests is we realize that we can teach truth, we can talk about truth, and sometimes everybody's truth, you know, it has to line up with what God is saying at the end of the day. But we can do it with love. We can love well through the process. And I think that's what you're going to see when you see us at the table.
And I think one of the things that I've at least become quite passionate about in the podcast that I host, and everybody does this because it's a part of our method, is to do our absolute best to love well by best representing as many voices as we can in the conversation and trying to give a sense of validity to that voice and saying, hey, there's a reason somebody is taking this perspective. And so we want to actually try to understand if that voice isn't here at the table right now, you know, I, as a host, am going to do my best to represent that and treat it fairly. And we're also going to try to treat everybody else fairly that is at the table and really respecting what it is that they're coming, where they're coming from.
Can you speak to we were just talking before about the change in or the modification in kind of the tagline to the Table podcast. It used to be issues of God and culture, and now you're expanding it a bit, issues of God and culture to demonstrate the relevance of theology in everyday life. Can you talk about how that connects to the mission of the Hendricks Center in which the Table podcast lives? And the mission there is to...
Shape compassionate, courageous leaders.
To shape compassionate, courageous leaders. Can you, speak to that connection there? Because what I hear you saying, and really each of you, is when we come to this particular podcast and we have guests in, we're not just trying to dispense information. We're trying in the actual process itself to model what is what we're hoping others will then go out and mimic and exemplify. And it seems to me that there's a close connection between what the table's about and then the Hendricks Center.
Well, we always are deeply committed to two ideas. One, that the truth matters, and secondly, how you treat people matters. I actually think it's an extension of the Great Commandment. You love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, and that extends even what makes Christianity distinct is that's true even of people who are opposed to you. You're supposed to love your enemies. So how do you do that well? Well, the first way you do it in the context that we're operating in is I need to understand where the other person is coming from. I need to work to understand where they're coming from, where they are, et cetera, and actually let them speak to why it is they believe what they believe. And then I move into assessment. I'm actually in a better place to assess and to engage if I really understand directly and honestly from the person why they are holding to what they hold. And sometimes what you find is they share a value with you, they apply it differently. And so that's kind of what we're searching for. We're searching for what drives a person to go in this direction, what might be worth a great conversation. The second feature that's important is we're an educational institution. Most people think, well, we teach facts in four walls. Okay, so I think of Dragnet. I'm sorry for the old illustration, but just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. And theology is actually supposed to be applied. It's supposed to impact your life. It's supposed to impact your life wherever God is. Now think about that. God's everywhere. God's everywhere all the time. God's wherever we are, doing with us wherever we are, guiding and leading us supposedly. So what does that look like in everyday life? So that's we're trying to make sure that bridge is never broken.
Any other comments?
I think the podcast does that in that you can see in how we open up in our opening and everything we do is to engage the culture and to show our culture, the culture, which can be very worldly, right? That God is in all of this, as Dr. Bach just said. It's in his works, in our glory that we see in around us. It's in our worship, and it's in his word. And so we just work, I think, to make sure that people can see that not only are we talking about these issues that can sometimes be controversial, as we've mentioned, but that God is in the center of all of this at the end of the day. And that's what we want to leave them with no matter what.
Right. It helps eliminate the sacred secular divide of like, okay, I have my church life over here, and then there's this other secular stuff, but we're helping people go from life to the Bible, as Daryl's always talking about.
So what surprised you about this journey? I mean, we're talking about 11 years of production, 13 years of planning and production, over 600 episodes. What surprised you about how the table has been received? As we've talked with our listeners, what has stood out to you from when you began to where we are now?
Well, one thing that surprised me, frankly, is that our podcast is finding listeners not simply in the United States, but now increasingly globally. And I'm excited about that. But it says to me that we're addressing not just Western issues, but human issues. That as humans engage life, whatever culture they're a part of, they have to deal with the human condition. And they ask questions that everyday people here are asking, because they're everyday people there, but they're finding some people that are actually talking about those issues, but doing it from a biblical worldview.
And I've been encouraged. I actually got a text from a listener the other day who said, oh, I was listening to Cultivating Love for God's Word, the episode with Jen Wilkin, and she said that she's a podcaster too, and she was just thinking about how she could apply some of what she's hearing to her own podcast, how she could help people to own their faith, their Bible literacy. And so I've been pleasantly surprised and really encouraged that people are applying, not just overhearing a conversation, but actually thinking through what it might look like to apply some of these things in their own lives.
Yeah, I mean, I find I'm overseas almost the entire summer. I walk in and speak. Inevitably, where I speak, someone comes up and says, hey, I've watch you on the table, or they'll say something really cute, like, I feel like I know you, okay, because they've seen me on the screen. So I tell you, yeah, they let me out of the screen. I'm actually a physical person. But and then the array of topics that people bring up when they, you know, because I usually will follow up, so what did you, you know, what issue did you hear, whatever. And it's the whole smattering of the array of things that we discuss. So it's clear that we're drawing attention of people who really want to sit down and think about. We go 45 minutes on purpose because we want to have time to discuss what we're pursuing.
And I'm going to throw a ringer in all of this. I actually almost got a job from somebody watching the Table podcast.
Is that right?
Not, you know, my background is, you know, I'm a former news anchor and reporter, and I had my own television talk show for 30 years on the public broadcasting system. And so in the secular life, I come with a lot of experience from that arena. But at the end of the day, I almost got a job from someone who knew me from the secular world as a news anchor, and they saw me on the podcast, and they contacted me. I didn't get the job. And even if I had, I probably wouldn't have taken it because I would have thought that they were trying to get rid of me. So anyway, I just wanted to add a little humor, but that is an actual thing that happened. So I guess I'm most encouraged when I see what we're doing not only helps, as Bill said, the global reach, but even in our classrooms that we're able to get students to use the podcast as they're working their way through some things theologically. And when you have a New Testament scholar like Dr. Bach and a pastoral person like Bill, and then you have a millennial feeding into this thing, and then even the pastor's wife, I mean, you're coming from so many different perspectives with a theological view as your base, you know, the Bible, the Word of God. So it's really good.
So is the variety of your listening base and the variety of the topics you cover, is that one of the reasons why you have so many different hosts? Is that, I'm throwing this out there. You can say, no, Josh, that's not why. But one of the things I've appreciated is in that variety, you get a slice of a perspective, right? In the hosting and in that conversation. Then as you step back and start to look at the vast array of episodes, and it becomes a mosaic where you see a lot of different angles and perspectives represented. So is that one of the reasons why you have five hosts?
One of the things that we're trying to demonstrate is the value and depth of the body. That the body has a variety of people with a variety of gifts who bring a variety of skills and a variety of helpful biblical perspectives to thinking about things. And so our goal was we wanted to be sure we didn't create a podcast that had a celebrity feel to it, you know, where there was just one host. And all. We're going against everything that broadcasting tells you to do.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Because it's very unusual to have this number of
and votes. To get that variety of voices means that also you get that variety of perspectives. Well, one of the things that's challenging for the church is that it tends to approach issues oftentimes from one perspective only and doesn't have that variety, and we need that variety. God designed a body for a reason, and so we're trying to reflect that in even the way we do the hosting and the various angles. And what's happened is that each of us have kind of developed our own interests in terms of what we want to pursue on the podcast. And that's created categories that we tend to operate in as a result. And that's done. I mean, there are certain things I could never be a host for that these people are wonderfully qualified to host. So I think it's added to the depth of what we do.
That's a compliment coming from Dr. Bach.
Well, I mean, there are a variety, like there are multiple chairs around a table for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. And it recognizes the validity and dignity of each one of those people. And so one of the things I love about the podcast is the diversity that we try to provide as far as the voices, because it demonstrates that, I mean, everybody is a theologian, as we all have heard many times, but that everybody is able to participate in these kinds of conversations and to do so thoughtfully and to do so with a voice that contributes something that everybody needs to hear.
So when Daryl says that each of you have developed interests, what are the interests that have developed? I'm curious. So yeah, in no particular order.
I just set you up. That's right.
Yeah. But you all have to answer. This is one I want to hear. So yeah, what are some?
Well, I think you get into, to some extent, gifting and also life messages. So for me, giftedness and mentoring, and therefore discipleship and spiritual formation, and leadership, because I am executive director for Christian Leadership, you could also add in a whole category on grief, because I've experienced that in my life. And so those are some core things that then you kind of build off of. But I mean, I've I've done a podcast with a scholar on epistemology.
I knew you were going to say that one.
That was your favorite podcast, wasn't it? What in the world is she saying to me?
No, she was a lovely guest.
Yeah.
I felt very honored, but I was way out of my depth. But somehow it came off. So.
For me, my background is in campus ministry, so college ministry and ministering to young people, discipleship and evangelism are some of my interests, and then also psychology and counseling and trauma, that kind of thing. That may sound strange to, I don't know if I should say I enjoy trauma, but it is something I've found really interesting.
I think you actually say that on the trauma podcast. You're like, I need to be careful how I say this. So.
And just to brag on Casey a little bit, you would be hard-pressed to find somebody who has actually presented the gospel to more people than this young lady right here. So she has a lot to say. So if you're listening and when you hear things from Casey, listen up because she knows what she's talking about. Mine is theology, so actual systematic theological conversations and topics I very much enjoy. I am a pastor's wife, and so I've gotten, I don't know if thrown is too negative of a term.
That sound that you're hearing is the bus coming. Go ahead.
I've gotten...
It's another type of grief.
I have been presented the opportunities to do many women's topics. And there's one other one. Oh, yeah. They jokingly call me the angel of death because I have kind of developed a passion.
Angel of
death. I know, right?
Yeah.
I've developed a passion for talking about some of the, I don't know, more cryptic, more like difficult topics around scary things in life that we all experience, that we all think about, and we don't actually, especially in the church, we don't actually talk about the fact that we think about them. And scripture has a lot to say about it, and there are scholars out there who have thought about it, and so I have a variety of podcasts on those type of topics.
And those are some of our most popular ones, so we all appreciate
your courage.
And my thing is, I'm the biggest sinner of the group. Not that I'm sinning now, but my background is a story of God's redemptiveness in your life. I have come from a mighty long way of running from the Lord to running to Him like never before. And so a lot of my podcast or that I will do here that you will see is just... I love to tell those redemptive stories of what God can do with the mess, turning it into a miracle if you just give it to Him. And so I can speak to women, I can speak to trauma, having lived a lot of it, and just being a survivor, you know, not a victim. And so you'll see those kinds of podcasts come out of me. I just love to just get to the heart of the matter, the root of the matter, and just let people see how God can just turn it all around. The turnaround agenda is possible. Fantastic. Through Christ who strengthens us. So those are my stories. That's what I love.
And then I think my role, other than to be a New Testament person who believes in biblical passages, Kim and I go back and forth on theology versus biblical passages all the time, even though they actually do work together, but we have fun with that little contrast, is public theology. I actually don't think we have a theology of cultural engagement. We need one as a church, especially as we function in a pluralistic environment. So a lot of what we're doing on the table is designed to really zero in on what does it mean to be the church in a pluralistic environment? How do we represent God well in the midst of that, even as we, in some cases, find ourselves in conflict with what's going on around us? So how do you balance the challenge that's in the gospel with the invitation that's in the gospel? And I tell people, if you never get to the invitation, all you do is challenge people, you haven't shared the gospel, because the gospel means good news.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah.
I got to throw in one more huge topic that we spend a lot of time on, which are integration of faith and work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Casey mentioned the sacred-secular divide, that for most people, they live one way on Sunday when they, you know, they're it's almost like their faith is a hobby. Then we go back to work on Monday, and basically we're secularists. We leave God at home. And so we're trying to press through that and help people. Again, the relevance of theology for everyday life. Where's God when it comes time to hire people? Where's God when it comes time to cast vision? Where's God when it comes time to set a budget? All those kinds of issues.
What strikes me is when I hear about all of these interests, it really does fit well, again, back to that the mission of the Hendricks Center of shaping compassionate, courageous leaders, because in the ethos of the Table podcast, with that particular vision, to have leaders that can engage culture, engage in specific areas of leadership, but do so in a way that may be countercultural, it may be difficult, but it's also laced with compassion. It's really neat to see how the Table podcast functions within the mission of the Hendricks Center, because the Hendricks Center has a whole bunch of other resources that tap into some of the things you've already talked about, but the Table is almost this variety clearing ground to really surface and stir up some really great discussions on topics that need to be discussed.
And apply. So if you think through the history of the center itself, which started off by being focused on the character of the leader, the kind of organization that he or she might lead, those kinds of questions. That's where when the center was founded in the 80s, that was really the focus. And then what happened is the culture shifted in a momentous way. I tell people, you know, the culture that I was born in is not the culture I'm living in now. It's not even close. And so as that shifted, it became clear a leader can't know how to function and even know how to build his organization. He doesn't know what's going on around him. And so that was the justification for thinking about the podcast and how do we help people see and understand what's going on around it, assess that biblically, et cetera. And now we're wrestling with, all right, in the midst of Christians, being found in a challenging culture, how can we now unite together and work together and hopefully try and say the same thing together to a world that needs what it is that we're trying to encourage people to pursue, which is why they were made the way they were made. And to understand that every person's made in God's image. They were made to image God. They were made for a relationship with God. They were made to steward the creation well. You can see what's happening with our stewardship by just looking around and watching the news. And so how you turn that around? Well, you turn that around by reconnecting to the reason you were created to begin with. And that's what we're hoping to show by what we do. And that creation roams the creation. And so as a result, we're anywhere and everywhere. So when I think about the saying that says, welcome to the Table where you discuss issues of God and culture, I'm actually thinking in my head, that means we discuss anything and everything.
Well, speaking of that, great segue, because we've used the term variety, different perspectives. So here's some interesting statistics that we pulled here by category. Theology and Bible, the category of theology and Bible, 106 episodes devoted to that. Faith and Work, 61 episodes. Sexuality, including LGBTQIA+, that's 40 episodes. Cultural Engagement, 34 episodes. Race, 20 episodes. Engaging World Religions, 12 episodes. And the list goes on and on, okay? How do you pick the topics? How do you pick the topics that people want to listen to and that can be constructive? Because there are times where, man, you want to have a conversation, but it may not be the right time to have the conversation. How do you go about that?
I'd like to say that we don't so much pick the topics as the topics pick us. I mean, literally, when Dr. Bach and Dr. Bailey were first starting and even contemplating this whole experiment, the question that Dr. Bailey had is, Daryl, you know, we've had some good podcasts here, but aren't you afraid, what happens if you run out of material? What happens if you run out of topics? Well, you know, this world, this culture, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because every day something pops up and you look at it and you go, huh, if I'm troubled by this, there must be a whole bunch of other people troubled or confused by this. And so we bring it to the group and say, what do you think about this? And I mean, we're just getting started. You listed off all those things. I'm going, man, there's so many more, though.
You should see our list that we have that we haven't recorded yet. I mean, literally, we've got a queue that fills in all the topics. Because sometimes what we'll do is we'll introduce a topic, and then we'll say, you know, that little 10-minute segment right there, that needs a closer look, and we'll dive in. And one of the
that's usually a common statement. You're like, oh, that's a podcast episode itself, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right. And you'll hear us say that. That's almost a note that we're sending to ourselves, right, saying, you know, to be continued. And the other thing that we've done that was a conscious decision at the beginning was we decided never to do a series as a series. In other words, we knew, for example, we did a thing on the Nicene Creed, okay, and we broke it down into parts. But we didn't do it as a six-week series, six episodes, one right, because we thought if someone isn't interested in that, they're going to go away, and then we're going to have to get them back. So every issue, every podcast is kind of self-sustaining to a degree and connected, but we also knew we were building an archive in the background. Where you see the series is in the archive. So if you come to our website and look at what we're doing, you can see all the other topics that relate to the topic that the particular episode is in, and you can get almost a seminary education on any one of these areas because of the amount of hours that are spent talking about this. We did the LGBTQ plus and everything else in about as many different ways as you could think about. We did it from the standpoint of the counselor. We did it from the standpoint of the person who's come out of the gay life. We've done it from the standpoint of the parent who's had a child who was in gay lifestyle coming out of it. We've done it from the standpoint of the impact of a child growing up in a gay family and what they thought about the way Christians treated their gay parents. We've cut that thing from about every angle that you can think of, each time looking at it from a particular way, because we're trying to give ultimately a holistic look at the topic and give people a feel for how complex some of these discussions actually are.
So basically, whatever makes us talk in our staff meeting, we end up doing a podcast.
Where do we not get episode topics from?
This episode is brought to you by the Truce Podcast. I'm sure you've been there. You're at an event, a dinner, a small group, and someone says something like,
"If you're a Christian, you have to vote Republican."
Huh. That raises an interesting question. How did evangelicals like me get to the place where we just assumed we'd all vote one way? This season on the Truce Podcast, we're diving deep into the complexity of the 1970s and 80s to understand how evangelicals tied themselves to the Republican Party. It's a story that involves murder, corruption, redemption, and our need to be heard. I'll be talking with celebrated historians like Rick Perlstein, Pulitzer Prize winners Francis Fitzgerald and Jesse Eisinger, and some of the best guests I've ever had. Truce is the show that uses journalistic tools to look inside the Christian church. We press pause on the culture wars in order to explore how we got here and how we can do better. Subscribe to Truce anywhere you get podcasts or listen at trucepodcast.com.
So how do you navigate the difficult topics? I mean, you brought up the many topics or angles for addressing just one hot topic in conversation today, and we all know that there are 30 to 40 other topics that command a lot of emotion on which people have strong convictions. And it seems to me that it's an art to be able to guide that conversation in a way that's constructive and also challenging. And that's kind of what I mean by constructive. It's challenging, but it's still clear on where you stand in those convictions. I mean, how have you wrestled with that as you've entertained these topics?
I mean, real quick, I think one of the things that I have personally learned is the power of framing a conversation. And so as clearly as possible, and when any of us are on our game, Daryl's the best at this, but when any of us are on our game, we're very clearly at the outset saying, this is what we are saying, this is what we're not. And we are hoping to acknowledge those who might be listening for whom this could be particularly painful or a particularly just a particularly painful conversation. And so in that, we demonstrate the pastoral dimension. That's hopefully the compassion. and then the courage is, but we still need to dive in because this is important. But the framing of the conversation. And I think I've taken that even into my regular day life with people, like kind of setting up how you go about it. Like, I mean, it puts it at least on some tracks that they can then run off, but usually it doesn't. You know, it makes it a bit more stable for everybody involved.
And we're trying to turn people actually into better listeners. We're trying to help them listen where the other person is coming from, why that might be the case, what their whys and wherefores are. And in many cases, these conversations are not an all or nothing kind of conversation. There's something in there where the other person is coming from that's worth zeroing in on and talking about in a significant way that can communicate an element of regard for the person while you're engaging them. Even when you're disagreeing with them, there are ways to get there. And so our first responsibility is to instruct in such a way that you see and come to appreciate the nuances of discussion. I usually say that many false beliefs have just enough element of truth in them to grab people. Mm-hmm. And so you have to look for that. You have to look for that. Now, the way it's spun or the way it could end up being a real problem. And I think that often happens in many of the more volatile discussions that we have. There's something that's a concern that's legitimate, but the application of it has somehow gotten offline. And so you want to think about being able to sort that out that way so that you can connect to the person you disagree with in a way and then say, hey, have you thought about doing it this way instead of that? And that ends up creating a conversation as opposed to a debate. And then you're in a better place because the person's defenses aren't going up. So we're trying to figure out how to do that. Now, in some cases, you just have to confront. There's just a disagreement. But usually, that's not the place to start.
So what for a listener that listens to the table and says, or let's just take a single episode, and they say, I disagree with that approach. What would you say to them? Just, I mean, in generality. So not... we don't know what the topic is. Are you saying, hey, be a better listener, or stick with us, or know where the boundaries are in the framing of our discussion? Because we may have, when you cover some really challenging topics, and there may be some people that say, I'm just not seeing where you're coming from. But Daryl, it sounds like you're saying there's something for everyone to learn in these conversations.
Exactly.
And so I'm asking you, what would you say to them?
So here, for example, I'll say things like that. I think this is one of the most basic things. It should not surprise us if someone doesn't believe they're made in the image of God, that they're trying to make sense out of their life, and that they do it by forming their own identity. It's about the only other place they can go.
Right.
So they're sitting there. So, and actually, if you listen to the language of the way people talk when they're doing this, they're actually signaling this is where they're going, because they say, I'm trying to find myself. And I go, well, I thought you were here all along, you know? And so, you know, so they're indicating that they're trying to make sense out of their life, and they've taken what we believe to be the most central feature to give you location and have said, well, I'm not going there, so I shouldn't be surprised they go somewhere else, and how they go in that direction. Just having that sense of, and what I'm going to call understanding empathy. It doesn't mean you agree with it, but you understand what's driving the person, puts you in a different pace about how you engage with them, because you're not shocked. You're not caught off guard. You actually go, well, I think if I didn't believe, you know, what I believe, I think I would be going down that path too. And then you pursue how to get relocated. Okay, because they're searching, they're looking for a location. That's an example of the type of thing that we're doing, where you're taking someplace where someone is because you've been listening to them, and you say, okay, I get that. We're trying to say to them, I think there's something missing here. But at the same time, you're also trying to say to them, I get the search to make sense out of life. We're all trying to make sense out of life.
Any other?
Well, James 1:19 is the verse that I think about when Daryl talks about that, and he's wisely sort of interpreted it. Let everybody be quick to hear, and like lightning quick to hear first, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And in our culture, we generally do that exactly the opposite.
Exactly the opposite.
Yeah, in fact, I have a line. I say, this is how the world takes that verse. It says, let me be quick to be angry, and slow to hear. Mm-hmm. And because you know, the passage says that the anger doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God. But in our world, our anger allows me to express myself fully. And so that's what we're up against. And we're trying to help people. We're really about ethos, if I can say it that way. We're really about what goes around what we do and the heart that we bring to it. That's really what we're trying to show as we go through all the topics of the podcast. We're trying to bring a different heart to what's going on.
So of all these topics, what are some of the favorites that among our listeners? I'll get to you in a second. So you guys get to choose your own favorites here in a minute. But as you've talked with people, what have you heard? What have you heard more than once where you're sitting there saying, boy, that one surprised me. It's been really popular. What are some of those?
I've been really surprised by the diversity, like we've been talking about, but it's not like, oh, all of this category is the most popular. Like, for example, in our top 10, just by the number of downloads, What Happens When We Die? You're welcome, Kim. What Happened to the Trinity on the Cross? The World of the New Testament? God's Design for Sexuality? Escaping the Prosperity Gospel? So you can see that these are all over the place.
Yeah. But they're the issues people are facing.
Yeah.
One that surprised me and continues to surprise me is we did a podcast on working moms, and I didn't think too much about it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a working mom. I can talk about it, you know, that kind of thing. And I get at least once a month, some woman comes up to me and says, I listened to that, and it's just like, that's my life. And it was so helpful. And so that's been a surprising one that has been at least very popular in feedback that I've received. I don't know about y'all.
So some of your favorites now, maybe a favorite podcast that has been recorded. I'll word it that way.
I'm going to start this one off because I'm thinking to myself, it kind of hinges on your question you asked the last time, and then it goes forward with this one. Because I mentioned that I love redemptive stories to show how the gospel met a person where they were at, you know, because we know that God will leave the 99 for the one. And I think that so often we hear of all these really good, warm stories about how Christianity allows us to, you know, to have these really good walks in life because we don't have all of the baggage to bring forward. And I love those stories too. I love a pastor in the pulpit telling me about, you know, the great examples of how they lived a wonderful life and walked with the Lord all their lives and all that. That's wonderful. But what about the people who went off the rails and went to the left and you know, the Lord had to bring them back to the right? And so with that in mind, just going on with my favorite, one of my favorites is one that we just recently did. I didn't do it, but Daryl, Kim, and Bill were a part of the conversation, and it was Shaping Leaders in Shifting Times. And I love this one because they were sharing how they have shaped leaders in shifting times past, but how they continue to do it through the Hendrick Center and all that they are going forward. And I loved even the guests they had on this. Dr. Bill Lawrence was one of the guests, and he was sending the message that I'm sending now, that I'm saying now. Let the gospel meet people where they're at, because it is good news, and we do need to share it, and we can turn some things around through Christ who strengthens us.
My favorites tend to be stories where I'm interviewing someone whose experience has been very different from my own. They take me to a world that I have never inhabited or rarely inhabited, or I only visit. And so it's a word that's controversial today, but it's an important word. It's the word diversity. And so usually I'm getting a perspective or an angle, a way of seeing life, a way of living, a set of experiences that I'm just totally foreign to. And so I'm hearing someone apply their Christian faith to this environment, which is so different than my own. And I find it enlarges the way I see the world. I have learned so much doing these podcasts. You know, we come in and, you know, the feeling is, well, you're a set of experts, you know, talking theologically about this. But because we're listening, we're learning. And in the midst of listening and learning, your view of the world, of God's activity, of who he's working with and how he works and the way he works through people just expands. And in ways in which something that was previously foreign now makes sense. And that helps us to relate to people better across the board. So those are the ones. I remember Bill, I'm going to point out one that Bill did. Bill had one with,
Tom
Terrence. And former Ku Klux Klan member who came to the Lord, totally shifted his life. That was one amazing podcast. Yeah. Just hearing the entire journey of how he got into that to begin with, what God did with him to get his attention, what he's doing now. And you talk about, you know, we talk about transformational activity that we engage in. You know, we're in the business of God's in the business of transforming people from sinners to be more like him. Okay, that was the full journey, and really, really opened up a lot of eyes for how God can work and totally turn someone's life over upside down.
Daryl, I like that you highlighted that it's building empathy, because some of my favorite ones, we've had Ron Deal on the show a lot, and he's an expert in blended families, and that's not my experience, it's not my background, and so to listen to him talk about how many different ways blended families can be manifest, but also the ways that they're affected was really eye-opening, helps build empathy and compassion for someone in the situation that I'm not in.
Empathy is a good word.
Yeah, so I think those are some of my favorite ones that I've listened to, and then... gosh, it's hard to pick favorites, you know.
But they're like our children, right?
Yeah, right.
Favorites,
exactly.
I really have a soft spot for the one that Kim and I did with John Adair about Harry Potter, because it's nostalgic and I like Harry Potter. But also, I think it's a good example of the cultural engagement dynamic that we've been talking about. You know, like that we're looking with kingdom eyes at a cultural phenomenon, and we're saying, okay, what is it that the culture appreciates that we as Christians can also celebrate? We as Christians celebrate courage and friendship. Of course we do. And so I think that the discussion in that was really... a picture of the things that we do.
Favorite podcasts? Favorite topic?
Well, you mentioned Tom Terrence, that interview. That was definitely one of my favorites. And another one somewhat along those lines. We had a woman who had written a book on, I believe it was Forgiving My Assassin. And she had been a lawyer in... Czechoslovakia?
Romania.
Romania, thank you. Under Ceausescu, so this communist, right? And she becomes a believer. And then the authorities find out about it. And because she's representing Christians and churches in court and usually gets, ruled against, but every once in a while wins one. And she's causing problems, so they wanted to get rid of her. And this guy comes to her office and makes it clear, that she's supposed to leave. And, she says, "Can I pray for you?" And she prays for him. And he leaves. And eventually she, with the help of our government, leaves Romania and ends up here in Dallas. Well, years later, she meets the guy who had visited her office. And he said, I needed to find you because I now am a Christian too.
Wow.
And the reason is, I was sent that day to kill you. I had the gun in my pocket. I was supposed to shoot you. And you said, "Can I pray for you?" And when you started to pray for me, I'd never had anybody pray for me before. And he dissolved and he left. And then by amazing circumstances, God reached him.
And just to show you how global that story is, we did another one with a man in South Africa who's now a pastor, who was part of the anti-apartheid movement, student movement back in the time when that was going on, before Nelson Mandela and while Nelson Mandela was working, who had been beaten up by the South African police on a regular basis. And he tells the story in his testimony that one day after he came to the Lord, he walks into a hospital, and the guy in the hospital bed who's dying is the guy who beat him up.
Wow.
And the guy asks him for forgiveness. And he talks about the dual things that were going on in his mind. The one was his reaction about, why should I have to forgive this guy, et cetera. And then the other one, because he was a mature Christian, he knew he didn't have a choice, that God had forgiven him, and so he needed to be forgiving to this person. And he talks through that. It's one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard in my life anywhere, but it's very similar. And so we are surfacing stories of people who have been in the midst of what it means to live in a fallen world, and we're trying to indicate how God is at work in the midst of our falling world.
And I know I mentioned one of my favorites being the one about leaders, but one that I'm hoping will be soon released that we've been approved for is Dimas Salaberrios, and the title of that podcast is From Dealing Dope to Preaching Hope, because he's talking about how his life was first early on spent with him not knowing any better, or knowing any better and not choosing any better and doing that, and how God literally intervened in his life in so many different ways that, back to that, leave the 99 for the one, it was apparent that that's what God was doing for him. And now he is just got a turnaround agenda that's crazy for the Lord, going everywhere now, all over the United States and abroad, preaching and hoping to turn some people's lives around. I mean, he was able to use, I'll give you this example, he was able to use how he smuggled drugs to how he's smuggling Bibles into countries that don't want them, you know, it's sanctioned. And so, I mean, his story is just one that we're seeing through him, his eyes and his life's experience, how God used him for that story to be told for such a time as this. Yeah. And I love that. It's that kind of thing that gives you an opportunity through this podcast.
So we run the gamut, you know, from that all the way over to thinking about how the arts, we haven't talked about this, but how the arts should be viewed and how we ought to think about the arts and the impact of our culture. Half of our staff has just come back from Sundance, thinking through that experience. And we're listening for the way the world sees the world and struggles to try and make sense out of life, because we think in that there are actually clues about how to share the gospel.
Yeah. Kim, if a person is coming to the Table podcast, maybe they're new, where would you direct them to start? Do you like how I put that? You put you on the spot.
The easiest question you've asked.
where should they start to begin to taste the impact that's coming through from each of you? I mean, it's really amazing to hear about the impact these conversations have had on your lives. I mean, I'm sitting here challenged by forgiveness, and where would you encourage them to start? Because 600 is yeah. That's a lot of episodes, and you cover a lot of ground, and some topics may not resonate with people. I mean, should they search for the thing they're interested in? What would you recommend?
Well, I mean, like we've talked about, we do have, I think we had a 10-year anniversary podcast, and if you're listening to this, then you've been introduced. So I think these are actually helpful ones to start with, because it kind of gives you an introduction to the hosts and to the, you know, again, the variety that we've been talking about, variety of topics, and points out the different, I don't know, topics, for lack of a better way of saying it, that we do cover. I'm going to be honest, Josh. I don't know that there would be one place that I would say, apart from that, if somebody's like, hey, I'd like all the background. I think that's actually what makes our podcast so unique to a degree.
So your advice is, hey, scroll through it and scroll through the options and look for the ones that seem to catch you.
Yeah. And okay. Because it's the same method applied. And I don't know, like my philosophy professor told me at one point, like, you just have to kind of jump in the pool.
Yeah.
And you'll figure it out, you know, but really, because it is the same method applied over and over and over and over again, but it's just in all of these different contexts and all these different conversations.
Okay. So next, the last question, and I'm looking at you, Daryl, but really any of you can answer. What's the future of the Table podcast?
We're just going to keep podcasting. I mean, we've got a queue that's as long as all our arms put together in terms of what's coming.
Yeah.
And we are trying to figure out how we can make it better. I mean, we're always wrestling and talking amongst ourselves. We meet together on a pretty regular basis talking about how we can do a better job. We're going to do a better job of talking about you, which means the single person out there who's listening, because we tend to talk about y'all because we're from the South, okay? And so we want to shed the all and just talk about you, the individual person. Why is the particular person listening to this podcast, why should they be interested in what we're saying, and what do we have for them in particular?
That's how I want to finish, okay? So here's my last word challenge from each. Finish this sentence. You should listen to the Table podcast because, and I want each of you to finish that sentence.
Make you see God in a new light.
help you see diversity and grace of God in your life and in others?
This is getting harder as it goes down. It'll cause you to read scripture differently.
It helps you cultivate empathy and humility as you appreciate and embrace a variety of topics, guests, and hosts.
Because it'll show you the relevance of theology and God's word to everyday life.
Well said.
Can I say this before you go anywhere else?
Sure.
I'm going to say this has been a really, really good interview, and I'm not saying it because I need any brownie points, but I just want to say to you that it would be too bad that if people don't know, or if a listener doesn't know that this is out there, then they can almost get so much information just off this 600th episode that will tell them so much about the essence of the Table Podcast. And you did a great job doing it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank each of you for spending this hour with me. I've really enjoyed it. And we want to thank you on behalf of our other hosts of the Table Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us for this 600th episode. We pray that it's been insightful for you. We pray that you have come across maybe a topic. We've mentioned a topic or an episode that you want to go and explore further. We ask that you subscribe to the Table Podcast and join us next time as we unpack issues of God and culture to demonstrate the relevance of theology in everyday life. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Table Podcast. Dallas Theological Seminary. Teach truth, love well.